Well, welcome, yes. Welcome to Crossroads. We're in a new series called Hearing from God, and we are going to talk about that today, but I have to tell you, when I came in and saw these speakers on the LED, the only thing I was hearing was this in my head. And walk all over Coliseum floors, I stood on stage at Live Aid, all the people paid, and the poor... All right, that's enough. I'm sorry, but when I see speakers, I'm looking for an empty cardboard box so I can break dance. That's what I'm doing. Anybody with me? I'm a hip-hop kid of the 80s and 90s. The only problem is breakdancing might be a literal term if I try to do it now, so I decided not to do that. But hey, we are so glad you're with us today. We are kicking off a new series on how to hear from God. You know, even that term, hearing from God, could seem strange or weird, and we're going to be unpacking it in this series because what the Bible tells us is there are time-tested ways for you and I to hear from God. And so we're taking a Home Depot approach in this series. What I mean by that is you can do this and we're going to help you do it. You can do it, we can help, because we're going to be looking at practical tools, things that help us unpack what it looks like and actually help us hear from God. And so as we kick off the series today, what I want to do is give you some vision for this series, and I want to begin to lay a foundation that will apply to everything else that we say in the weeks to come. But first, let me tell you, the big idea today is simply this: hearing from God is a skill that you and I can grow in. It's a skill. It's not magic. It's not reserved for only hyper-spiritual people or people with a specific bent. No, all of us can hear from God, and doing that, listening to Him, is a skill that we can cultivate. Now, I will tell you, this was a hard message for me to prepare. It really was, because rather than having writer's block, I had writer's blah, like I just had so much I wanted to say. And so to try to refine that into just a simple foundation laying message was a bit of a challenge, and I needed to listen to God for guidance. And I'm going to ask Him to help me do that now. Let's pray. God, I thank You for the opportunity to just share this wonderful promise with all the people who've engaged today, that You speak, that You want to speak to us, and that we can actually learn to listen to Your voice. And so we're all across the board in maybe what we believe. We're certainly across the board in our experiences of this with You. But I pray that You would take us to a new place over the course of this series, and that that would begin today. And that as we go in that direction, it would look like, or we would look like, Your Son Jesus. So it's in His name I pray. Amen. So since this is a practical series, I thought it'd be helpful to start with giving you a couple of questions just to assess where are you as it relates to hearing from God. So I got a couple questions I want you to reflect on. The first question is this: on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being this is a non-existent experience in your life, 10, you hear from God just like you're hearing my voice right now regularly, where would you say you are in terms of hearing from God on a scale of 1 to 10? Just think about that for yourself. Second question: if you were to pick one word to describe your current experience of hearing God, what would that one word be? Maybe it would be never. Maybe it'd be always. Maybe it'd be difficult. Maybe it'd be easy. I don't know what it would be for you, but what would the one word be that describes your current experience in hearing from God? Third question. I want you to dream. It's 4 weeks from today. This is a 4-week series. And I believe if you apply what we're going to be talking about, that you're going to grow in your ability to hear from God. And so, in 4 weeks' time, what would you like to be the one word that describes your current experience of God then? What would that word be? Maybe it's growing. Maybe it's progress. Maybe it's step. I took a step. And here's what I want you to know. Whatever that word is for you, however much you desire to grow in this, God's desire is for you even more to grow in it, and His promise is to help you do it. I want to give you a verse to hold on to as we go into this series, and I hope that for you this verse will be a regular source of encouragement. It's Jeremiah 33:3, where God says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." It is one of the most beautiful truths to know that the God and the creator of the universe wants to be in a conversation with you. That God wants to converse with you. He doesn't want to just be transactional with you. He wants to be relational with you. And let me tell you this, He's not always mad at you. He's not always mad at you. He is pursuing you in relationship, and you can hear his voice. Hearing his voice doesn't, for me, it's never been an audible voice, but oftentimes what it is it's a prompt, and it's a prompt that moves me in the direction of something that I know to be the character of God because of the truth of Scripture or because of the life of Jesus. And it always looks like that. It's going to be different for all of us, the pathways, the ways that God will communicate, but it is possible for you and I to hear from God. And that's why it's critical that we do this series, and there's such benefit in doing it, because this is how we build relationship with him. And this is how he actually gets more and more opportunity to grow us in areas of our life. Wherever you are, I know there's something you want to grow in. I know there's some area of your life you want more power, you want more peace, you want more perspective around, and God gives that to you. In fact, the greatest tool you and I have access to is the very voice of God. I want you to leverage that and lean into that. And that's what this series is all about. Now, I want to lay out two premises, though, right up front, that maybe you believe already. If you don't, I just want to spend a few minutes hopefully building a little bit of confidence in you in those. And then we're going to talk about some practical tools, some foundations, I should say, to help us lay the foundation of hearing from God. The first premise is this: God speaks. God speaks. He's always been speaking. He's never stopped speaking. He will never stop speaking. God speaks. One of the places we see this laid out in the Bible is Psalm 19, 1 through 2, where it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." One of the ways that God speaks is through his creation, through the created world around us, through the order, the design, the beauty, the mystery that we see, whether that's looking through a telescope at stars way away in the galaxies, or whether it's looking at something very small and micro in our own world. Maybe that's one of the reasons why I absolutely love the series Planet Earth. How many people love Planet Earth? Have you seen that? Man, I can watch that all the time. It doesn't hurt that David Attenborough has to be the best narrator ever, right? The tiger in the jungle. I mean, like, I just love talking. I can say anything, and I love talking to that guy. But, like, it's serious. It's a great show. And the thing that I know about that show is I'll watch it, and sometimes while I'm watching it, I begin to cry. Or I'm moved emotionally by this truth that's revealed in nature, because God speaks to us through his created world. Let me give you one of them that just blew me away that I heard. Did you know that there is a British butterfly? It's a rare butterfly, a blue butterfly. And the way this butterfly, when it's a caterpillar, gets its sustenance is unbelievable. Here's the deal. When it's a caterpillar, you can imagine that it's very vulnerable to other insects, particularly to ants, who will eat just about anything, right? So isn't it crazy to think that the way this butterfly actually gets its sustenance is when it's a caterpillar, it falls off the leaf down to the ground and the ants converge on it. And what do you think happens then? No, the ants don't eat it, because that caterpillar puts off a pheromone that smells like a baby ant. And so those baby ants take that butterfly into its den, where they tuck it away safely, and they begin to feed that ant until the caterpillar gets enough sustenance to break out and become a butterfly. Friends, when I hear things like that, that blows me away. That blows me away. And I don't think that's random. And it reminds me of something that Jesus said. There's a time in the Bible where Jesus is talking about anxiety and why we don't need to worry. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, and he says this: "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they?" And when I'm sitting there watching this story about this blue butterfly that's fed by its predators, it's almost like Jesus has sat down and is watching Netflix with me. And he is saying, "Chuck, consider the blue butterfly. Do you think if I go to that much trouble to make sure it gets fed, I'm not going to take care of you?" Man, God speaks to us. He speaks to us about his care through his created world. So I want you to know God speaks. The second premise is this: what God speaks is for your joy. It is for your ultimate joy. Jesus put it like this in John 15, 11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Now, let me be very clear. That doesn't mean that everything you hear from God is going to make you feel joyful in the moment. There are a lot of times in my life where I know God is speaking, and the thing that he is speaking, whether because it's right there in the word or it's a prompting I have, I know it's in the direction of Jesus, but I just don't want to do it because it's uncomfortable, it's difficult, it's hard. And yet, even in those uncomfortable, difficult, hard places, when I take those steps of obedience toward the voice of God and what I think he's saying, maybe not in the short term, but always in the long term, they've all proven to be for my ultimate joy. And so I want you to know that God speaks, and you don't have to wonder if he speaks, but we can learn and need to train in learning to hear his voice. And so what I want to do is just lay some foundational principles that are always true, no matter your preference, no matter what it is in terms of the way that God speaks to you, because maybe God will speak to you different than the way he speaks to me, but these foundations are always in place. Three things that have to be in place to hear the voice of God. Number one is FaceTime. FaceTime. I'm not talking about the Apple app. That would be really cool if you could download an app and God pops up and he, you know, talks to you. That'd be awesome, right? But that's not what I'm talking about. Here's what I'm talking about. FaceTime. We have to prioritize FaceTime with God if we're going to grow to trust God and to hear his voice. I mean, isn't this true in any relationship? Think about somebody you trust. Like the person you leave your keys with when you go on vacation so they can water your plants. That person. And my guess is you spent significant FaceTime with that person, and that's why you trust them. There's a track record in the relationship that causes you to say, I trust this person. And it's true in the human. So why wouldn't it be true with our relationship with God that if we're going to grow to trust that this is the voice of God, that happens if we invest FaceTime, relating to God. FaceTime builds trust. There's an old story, it's a true story, of an amazing high wire walker. His name was Charles Blondin. And he would do these incredible high wire things. And one of the things that he's famous for is he did a high wire across Niagara Falls, and he was literally walking across Niagara Falls way up high on nothing but a thin high wire. And then he decided to up the ante, and at another point, he did it again, but this time he took a wheelbarrow with him across the wire. Crazy. And he gets to the other side safely, and everybody's going crazy. They're so blown away by this experience. And then Charles Blondin issued this challenge. Would anyone in the crowd like to get in the wheelbarrow with me and walk across Niagara Falls? How many people you think took him up on the offer? That'd be a big fat zero. That's right. That'd be a big fat zero. No one wanted to do that. Why? They saw him do it successfully. They saw him do it with a wheelbarrow successfully. Why didn't anybody want to do that? Because there's a difference between belief and trust. You can believe a set of facts. You can know them to be true. If you were in the crowd, you know for a fact that Charles Blondin has the ability to walk across the Niagara Falls high wire with a wheelbarrow. You saw it. But that's belief. Trust is getting in the wheelbarrow. And what I want you to know is that God is inviting you and I to get in the wheelbarrow. And if we spend FaceTime with him and we develop a relational trust, then we will begin to hear his voice more clearly. One of the ways that this has impacted me recently was I was challenged, you heard it in the story in the video that opened up, and I would say I had the same challenge, to take 4 weeks, and in those 4 weeks, to just pull away from media, to pull away from, you know, whatever it is that I would check on my phone regularly, all of the podcasts that I'd regularly listen to, even the shows that I would regularly watch. The one exception that was given is you can still watch things like The Animal Planet or Planet Earth because those are things that connect you to the heart of God. So maybe that's why I love the show so much, because for a month, that was all I was watching. And here's what struck me in that month. It struck me that it is so easy for the white noise around me to crowd out my FaceTime with God, to dim my ability to hear him. And in that month, something changed, and I just got more clarity. I was able to hear him more clearly, and I've been able to maintain a different rhythm after that. It doesn't mean I'm doing all the media fasting I was doing, but I am prioritizing FaceTime with God, and I'm experiencing the benefits that come with that. If you want to grow to hear the voice of God more clearly, I want to encourage you, get in the wheelbarrow and build in FaceTime with God and trust him and build the relationship of trust with him. So FaceTime is one of the foundational things that must be true to grow in hearing from God. The second thing is we need filters. We need filters. Because guess what? God is not the only person trying to get your attention. There's a bunch of people, a bunch of folks who want to get your attention. There's a bunch of people who would love you to be under their authority. There's a bunch of things that would want you to be going in their direction. So we have to have filters when we're engaging with God. And we're going to talk a lot about some of the big filters. So I'm not going to spend a whole ton of time on these, but just to list a couple of them, we're going to do a week where we talk about the filter of God's word, the Bible. Let me tell you something. God is never going to tell you something that conflicts with what he has already revealed to be true in the Bible. So that's a good filter for us if we think, sense a prompting or it's like, how does this line up with what's in the Bible? That's why it's important to prioritize FaceTime so you can read the Bible and know what God says in there. I mean, think about it. When you're in our culture and you want people to know who you are, what do? Well, you start an Instagram following, then you start a YouTube channel, and then you write a book. God wrote a book. God wrote a book because he wanted us to understand his heart. So we spent a whole week talking about how do you read the Bible and how does that play into hearing from God? And then the other thing is he's given us the gift of community, wise counsel. And we need wise counsel when we're trying to discern, is this the voice of God? Is this some other voice? How do I make this decision? That's why we need community. We're going to spend a whole week on that. And so I'm not going to dive into those right now, but I am going to say this. There's a big filter that I think maybe an overall filter to apply to all of those things, and I want to give it to you today. It's in a question form. Filter everything you think you're hearing from God through the lens or the filter of this question. Will this make me live more like Jesus? Will this help me live more like Jesus? It's kind of trite and pithy, you know, it was all on wristbands. What would Jesus do, right? I mean, that's trite and pithy, but at the core of that is an absolute foundational truth. God's desire for you and for me is that we grow in the character and the competence of Jesus. And so when he's communicating to us and conversating with us, it is to grow our hearts, it is to grow our life direction, it is to grow our desires to be those that put us in a place to be more like Jesus. This is laid out very clearly in the New Testament. There's a letter that was written to the early followers of Jesus called the Book of Colossians. And in Colossians 1:28, it says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ." Mature in Christ. What's God's desire for you and for me? To grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Up. That's what God is up to in our lives. He wants to take us from baby spirituality to acting like infants spiritually to growing up to be mature men and women who can actually operate with the same character and spiritual maturity that Jesus had. And so as he's talking to us, it is all in that direction. And I think it's really important that we have filters that help us determine that. That question for me is a very, very helpful filter. I also say that question is important because if there's one thing that concerns me about cultures like Crossroads, and I'm a part of Crossroads culture, church culture, is how increasingly frequent it is for people to put at the beginning of any decision they've made, "I think God's calling me to," or "I think God's telling me to." And people use that all the time. They'll say, "Well, God's calling me to do this," or "God's calling me to do that." And let me be very clear. God calls people to do things all the time. God has called me to do things. That is absolutely true. But I'm a pastor, and so as you might imagine, I got a lot of data on this one. And here's what the data tells me. The data tells me that the majority of things for which people feel called to do are things they would want to do on their own anyway. Now, I'm not saying God wants everything to be unpleasant in your life, but I'm just saying if you think everything you want is what God wants, you are not hearing the voice of God. That's just not the way life works. That's not what maturity looks like. And so we have to be careful if we're saying, if we find ourselves saying, "Well, I think God wants me to do this. I think God wants me to do this." That's why we need filters. Because let me tell you the biggest challenge between Chuck hearing from God, it's the voice in Chuck's own head. I probably shouldn't tell you guys this. You might sound grotesque, but I have a me monster living in me. I mean, it's a real monster. It raises its ugly head. It wants things that it shouldn't want. It cries when it doesn't get its way. I mean, I have a real me monster in me. And I gotta know that when I'm hearing from God, how am I discerning that from the me monster in me that wants what it wants? And that's where filters come in, like the Bible, like community, and like just a simple question that says, "Hey, is this gonna help me live more like Jesus?" I'll tell you a real-time example for me and I've been honest and open about this over the years, is my relationship to food. So I know nobody else has had this journey, but like I've had times in my life where I've been really focused on weight loss and how I'm eating, and I've lost weight, and then I'll gain weight, and then I'll lose weight, and then I'll gain weight, and then I'll gain weight, and then I know I'm the only person who's had that experience, but like that's been my journey. And so as I think about that and wrestle with that, I know God wants more for me in that area. I know that's not the relationship he wants me to have with food. And so as I was reading one day, there was a verse in the Bible that jumped off the page to me. It's 1 Corinthians 6:12, and it says this: all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. And the truth is, there are times when food is dominating in the relationship I have with it. Whether I'm going to food for comfort or for celebration, whatever it is, that food is in a place in my life that is dominant, and I don't want that. And I know that's not what God wants for me. Will this help me look like Jesus? If I address this, if I deal with this, yeah, I think it will. And so I leaned into the filter of community. And I'm really thankful I have a physician who's also a follower of Jesus, fellow Crossroader, and I went to my annual physical, and he was like, hey, you're checked out, everything's good. And he says, is there anything else you want to talk about? And I said, yeah, I want to talk to you about my relationship to food and how this is an ongoing struggle. And we had a really good conversation. And he had been learning some things and kind of going in a direction of understanding more about the connection between our eating and our relationship to it and what it says about our emotions and our spiritual life and all this. And we had a powerful conversation. And he recommended a tool to me. He recommended a tool and said, I think you should try this and just see if it works. And so, because I know I'll get emails if I don't say it, I'm going to tell you what it is, but I got to give you some caveats. I am not a paid advertiser for this. I would love for them to send me a check for telling all of you this, but I don't think that's gonna happen. So I just want you to know that. And if you try this, it is buyer beware. If it doesn't work for you, don't blame me. Don't say, my pastor said I should try this and it's not working. Don't do that. We good? We good with that? All right, so it's an app. It's called Eat Right Now. And I'm finding it to be helpful for me. I'm only 3 weeks in, but I'm finding it to be helpful because it's not about calorie counting. It's not about that, because I just don't have the energy to do that. And I know that's not the underlying foundational thing. And so what it's helping me to do, it's giving me tools and it's giving me space to think about how can I change my relationship to food? The what, the why, and the how of what I'm eating. And I'm finding it to be helpful. And here's what I know. I know that as I grow in this area, this is an area where God wants me to filter my relationship with food through these lenses, through this filter. And as I do that, I think I'm gonna look more like Jesus. I think I'm gonna have what I would call maybe a healthy relationship to food and not be dominated by food in some of the ways that I've been dominated by food. And so my encouragement to you is, as you grow in this journey of hearing from God, make sure you have healthy filters in place, because God would want that for you. He wants that for all of us, and he provided those filters for all of us as well. So FaceTime, foundational. We're not going to hear from God if we don't prioritize FaceTime with him. Filters, we need filters, because all of us have to discern whether it's God or us, whether it's God or some other voice that wants our attention. And then finally, we gotta follow through on what we hear. We gotta act on what we hear. Obedience grows your ability to hear from God clearly. Obedience, follow through, grows yours and my ability to hear from God clearly. And that means following through on the big things and the small things. Let me give you a smaller example of how this played out for me just this week. You ever have one of those days in your schedule where it's like you're just wall-to-wall meetings? You just got like one thing to do, then the next thing to do, then the next thing to do, then the next thing to do. Wednesdays are like that for me every week. And so it was kind of in between meetings, and I felt this ping. I would say it was a prompting, just a thought. And the thought, I believe, was in the direction of living and looking like Jesus. And it was, hey, you see that guy over there? It was a coworker of mine. I want you to go just check on how he's doing. And I'll just tell you, like, I just finished one meeting, trying to grab my computer, get some water, and get to the next meeting in time. And my first response was like, God, can I do that later? I don't want to do that right now. And I just felt that prompting. And again, I'm like, all right, I'm going to follow that. And so literally, I just went over to him, and I'm like, hey, man, how you doing? Guy that I work with every day. And he wasn't in crisis, but he was at a point where, based on something specific that was happening in his life, that moment, he was kind of at an anxious point. And I was able to just sit there, listen to him, encourage him. and just pray for them, just bless them in that moment. And that may have been a small thing, but I know that that was what God wanted me to do. And I think that was helpful to him. I think it was encouraging to him. And so whether it's a big thing or a small thing, the more that you do that, the more that you follow through in those promptings, the easier it is to hear the voice of God. So I've said a lot. I've given you a lot today, trying to give you a vision, big picture, also trying to give you some foundational things. So let me summarize it in one simple scripture. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 from the book of Proverbs, a collection of wisdom, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." That's the journey we're going on together over the next 4 weeks as we learn how to hear from God. Trust in the Lord. Again, it's about prioritizing face time, being willing to get in the wheelbarrow with God and grow your relational trust. And lean not on your own understanding. That's about, let's make sure our filters are in place so that we're filtering through the right ways. Is this voice of God? Is this going to help me look more like Jesus? What does the Bible have to say about this? Let me lean into wise counsel and community. In all your ways, acknowledge him means recognize him. Go in his direction. It means follow him. And as we do that, he will direct your path. Friends, God is speaking, and he wants to have a conversation with you. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to grow in your ability to hear him. But I would imagine that given the room and given the size of the people who are engaging, that there are some people who are hearing this and they're just saying, man, I want to hear from God desperately, but it just feels like he's silent. You've been pleading with God, maybe for months, maybe for years, trying to get an answer to a question, trying to understand something that happened in your life, asking him to do something for you, just wanting to grow in that way and feeling like God's not talking to me. What's wrong with me or what's wrong with you? God, I'm not hearing you. I know there are people who are feeling that way right now. And you might feel this might be for everybody else around me, but it's not for me. If you're in that place, I just want to encourage you to hang in there and lean in over the next several weeks. Lean in. I believe God wants to communicate to you. And I want to encourage you to lean in on what we're about to do right now. We're going to have an opportunity for you today to hear from God. In a moment, whether you are tuning in online or whether you're in a room, you're going to have a chance to interact with a real person who is going to listen to God on your behalf, and they're going to share words with you that reflect God's heart specifically to you. It's called encouraging prayer. And why do I have confidence in knowing what they say is going to be God's heart for you? I know that because God says that that's what happens when we, as followers of Jesus, listen for his voice and communicate what we hear with each other. It's called the gift of prophecy. And when you hear that word, you might think fortune telling. That's not what I mean. That's not what the Bible means when it says prophecy in this particular case. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says prophecy speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So this is not an opportunity to have a fortune teller come and tell you about your future. It's an opportunity to interact with a person who wants to share with you something that will strengthen you, encourage you, and comfort you. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity. So wherever you are, you're going to get more instructions, but I'm going to pray. And as you engage in this, I believe God's going to speak. God, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for just the fact that your voice can be heard. And I thank you for the gift of community. What's about to happen now is one of the ways that you speak to us. You speak to us through other followers of Jesus, other people who are hearing your heart and sharing it with us. So God, for everybody who stays, and I do pray everybody would stay, I know that you have a word for them. Speak, Lord. We want to be listening. Amen.